Trish and Rob McGregor welcome you to a place where all kinds of phenomena flourish. Here we meet authors, researchers, and investigators of the mysterious, the strange, and of the inexplicable anomalies that surround us. Step out of the everyday world and take a journey into the mystical underground.
Start in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Mystical Underground. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob McGregor.
And Trish McGregor.
And our producer and tech magician, John Posey. You can go to themysticalunderground.com where we make regular blog posts and where you can find out about our books. Among them are The Seven Secrets of Synchronicity, Sensing the Future, The Secrets of Spirit Communication, and Aliens in the Backyard, among others. Our latest book is called Mind-Blowing Synchronicities, the Latest Science, Stories, and Research. Trisha's latest novel, which is coming out in January, is Silent Thunder. Rob's most recent novel is called Tulpas, a story of mysterious beings created through deep meditation. If you are watching us on YouTube, we would appreciate it if you would take a second to click the like, subscribe, and notification buttons so you never miss an episode. If you prefer to listen to the show, it is available wherever you listen to podcasts. Please subscribe there. Go ahead, Trish.
Hey, Ken Elliott is an artist and author who lives in Castle Rock, Colorado. He spent more than two decades collecting stories that show a simple but powerful truth. Our thoughts can literally shape the world around us. He's the author of a terrific book, Manifesting 1, 2, 3, and You Don't Need Number 3, where he shares real-life examples, including his own, to show how you can use your thoughts to bring about positive changes in your life. Welcome, Ken. I've been anticipating
welcome,
this.
Welcome, Ken. Yeah. Trisha's been talking about your book for weeks now.
Oh, my gosh. Well, thank you for having me on the program. I really appreciate it.
Okay. I have the main question I've got, well, one of them. How did you learn about manifesting? I know Judy was a instrumental in your search.
Yes. Well, we meet the people we're supposed to meet. And one of those early things that happened, I heard William Buhlman on the Art Bell program. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about out-of-body travel. And I sent him, he said, if you do this every day for 30 days with this technique he had, what a many, you'll go out of body. Well, I emailed him the very next day, and nothing special in the subject line at all. Nothing clever going on. And he got back to me the next morning, and he said, I got, I can't remember the number, he sold 2,000 books off that segment.
Jeez.
He said he got hundreds of emails from that show already, and he said, who are you? I'm answering you first. And we became very close friends. Well, that kind of turned my head around, but I got used to that after a while. We meet the people we're supposed to meet, and I'm glad to meet the two of you.
And likewise.
And I don't take any of this lightly, because the two of you make a wave. And some of this goes now for generations. You'll never be adequately thanked for the work that you do. And I thank you for the opportunity to ride on your wave as well. So William and I became very close friends. I did his website. Helped him a little bit on books he was writing, not in what he was putting into them, but with a book cover or other kind of promotional things, getting him on radio shows, that kind of stuff. So we became very good pals, one of my closest male friends. And one day on a private conversation, he said, you know, sometimes when I'm on the other side, the non-physical realm, when he goes out of body, I see these things that are on my wish list in various stages of formation. Now, I spent a lot of time with Judy Goodman and learned a lot from someone who goes out of body every night, and William Buhlman, and had a lot of material that's not in the literature. So, yeah, I was a pretty savvy guy, right? And he's telling me this stuff I have never heard of before. And I said, tell me that again. And he said, he makes lists. By the way, guys don't make lists. That's why they can't bring everything back from a verse. That's me. So he said, let's say he wanted a new van. He would put that on his wish list. And he'll put it on the mirror. It's in his billfold or something. He sees that every day, that list of these, whatever these items are. And he said, if I just put that van on my wish list, when I'm on the other side, and it happens for him occasionally, he would see that item along with other items arrayed in different states of formation. He said it, an original thought takes form over there right away, and it looks like a puff of vapor, a wisp of smoke. And if he's been on that van for days or weeks or months, whatever it is, that wisp of smoke will start to take on a 3D form. And when you're over there on the other side, you can look at that wisp and you know it's a van. You just have a knowing. But now it's taking a form of a van. You can't miss it. And later on, it gets more and more 3D, more full color, and it's coming over. It might get willed to you. I've had people that got in a hailstorm, and they got a car replacement. They had a crappy car, and they got a less crappy car. It was like three generations newer. Excuse me. Three generations newer, like a brand-new car to them, for $600. They couldn't afford a new car without that complete total on the other car. So it's going to come over. And I've seen those things plenty of times. Sometimes you'll even get a heads up, what I call a bleed over. Something will happen. You'll hear a thing and go, is my thing getting closer? Is that thing about to come over? And it does. So I called Judy Goodman. And by the way, William Buhlman has a website for out-of-body travel. And his last name is spelled B-U-H-L-M-A-N. And you can look him up and catch that website. Excuse me. I've got a nagging tickle left over from a cold a couple of weeks ago. So I'm going to nag all of you with it. So I called Judy Goodman as soon as I got off the phone and said, you know, William, and he told me this cockamamie thing, but I believe it, about thoughts taking form. She said, that's correct. Excuse me. It's really nagging. And I said, well, why didn't you ever tell me? She said, well, you never asked me. Well, okay. That's a whole other thing going on there. Why would I think to ask about something I've never heard of? Anyway, so she said, yeah, that's correct. And she can observe that too. On occasion, she has called me and said, that thing you're working on, we had a business plan, a little internet business plan when the internet was new, me and another guy. And she said, I was looking at your business plan on the other side. It was almost fully formed.
Huh.
But it's going back to smoke. Were you giving up on that? And I said, yeah, we didn't know about people that could hack into things and security concerns and all that. So we couldn't afford to hire all these people and all this stuff to protect the site. She said, it's going back to smoke, buddy. I said, let it go. We don't want it. and so it comes, it goes.
Huh.
And you can get in the way of that. Another time she called me. And no, I called her and I said, well, I need to talk to you about something. She said, yeah, what? She said, yeah, I'm concerned about money. She says, I know. I go to the other side and I see that. Is this going to be the coughing show? I don't smoke, but I sure sound like one. And she said, I could see that over there that you're concerned about money. Why didn't you call me earlier? And it's similar to what I said before. I said, well, I didn't want to concern you with it. She said, well, I'm concerned about it. And you're getting in the way of your success financially. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, I can see you're a manifestor. You wrote a book about this. And you're concerned about money. On track one, on track two, you're manifesting that finances are not a concern. I love that phrase. Hmm. So your worry, she said, it looks like a spider web that's getting on top of this thing you're manifesting, and it's interfering with it. She said, you got to stop worrying about money. How about this? Don't worry about money again, okay? If you have to pretend, don't worry about money again. And so I did that, and I haven't worried about money again.
Huh.
Does it get thin? Yeah. Does it get really thick? Not as much as I would like. But you know, so far, so good.
Yeah. So, Ken.
Well, has she... Oh, go ahead, Rob.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Tell our viewers who don't know who Judy Goodman is about her, who she is, and how you met her.
Okay. JudyGoodman.com. JudyGoodman.com. a very, very gifted person, one of the most gifted persons I've ever heard of. I saw her in a dream about 6 months before I met her. And then later I thought, oh, you were that lady in the dream. She said, oh, really? You're really quick, aren't you? but she was somewhat disguised in that dream. She hates the word psychic, but gifted, where she sees what's going on all the time, with her physical eyes and ears, highly intuitive as well, goes out of body every night, comes back with a full memory, you know, 29 days Jeez. Out of 30. Very handy things to have on your tool belt. And I've relied on her and from time to time, and she has changed the lives of many, 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 many friends of mine, many friends. So that's a nice person to have in your front shirt pocket, so to speak. So the closer I got to her, the more that I learned. And then there was a point, a number of us that were in close contact with her, and things started to shift. You said, now, have you noticed that the closer you get to me, the less I tell you?
No,
there's
no.
There's that dichotomy going on. This is a definitive book, and I can't underscore that enough. It's definitive because there are other people who know of this, but they haven't written about this. And the core part of it is your thoughts are creating form in the non-physical realm. And if you repeat a thought, it will start like a vapor and will congeal and get more and more solid. And it's coming over so-called good things, so-called bad things. And there's two things in this world, love and fear. And after being around the manifesting idea and seeing it demonstrated in my life and the hundreds of stories that have come through the website, what is that? Manifesting123.com. Go up there and look around those stories. It's very uplifting, little ones and whoppers. But after years of this, I have learned to stay away from fearful thoughts. Now, they're going to happen, but I just don't let them repeat themselves.
Huh.
And if I have something that's in my face that's really disturbing me, I'm going to manifest a solution. I'll begin to create something that will oppose that problem.
Well, when you're out of body, do you also see what's coming, like Judy does?
Excuse me. I haven't been out of body that much.
Mm-hmm.
Purposely, because I'm lazy. If you want to go out of body and you get on it, you're going to go out of body. And I did go out of body in 30 days, like William said on the radio, and I made a small bet with a friend about that. And I've learned a lot from William, but if you don't stay on it, you know, do this as a daily, a few times a week regimen, then it's not going to happen. It does happen for people who do it spontaneously. Now, I get pulled out of body. It's kind of like they get me by a hook and they take me over there and they show me stuff. And then they give you a little time. So, well, you're just going to be a delinquent. So you have to go back home. You know, that kind of thing.
Boy,
so I use a lot that way. But what I have learned about being out of body is everything over there is a construct. Everything over here is a construct. This was a tree there. This was a tree. Mm-hmm. Now it's not a tree. Yeah, I like that. So how many thousands or hundreds of thousands of man hours does it take to go out in the forest and get a tree and have it wrapped and packed, and I can pick it up and use this for copy-paste? Mm-hmm. So it's all thought. All of it's thought.
No, there was, I think it was during the late 80s, James Roberts. No, I was in the early 70s, I guess. James Roberts wrote about what you're talking about how, you know, how your thoughts create your reality.
Oh, I want to read that. Thank you.
Oh, the Seth books are terrific. You'd
Please
love
send
them.
Me that. I'm all over it. Okay, good.
Okay.
Now I'll quit making falsehoods. Yeah, I want to get on that. I wish everybody knew that. I like what Galileo said. All truths are easy to understand once they're first discovered. And this is really simple, basic stuff. Where everyone is born with this. no one is better at gravity than the next person. You know, it's just an inherent natural law. And this thing about thought is, excuse me, and runny noses run downhill. That's a natural law.
Well, to quote another great philosopher real quick, Mike Tyson once said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. How do you overcome that when you're, you know, when things don't go quite the, I mean, it's just a function of time. That's the way you have to look at it, or what, as far as if you're not manifesting what you,
I'm so glad you answered that question. And I have to be nice to you because you can cut me on and off. It's like talking to God here, but I'm not used to God asking me a lot of questions.
Voice. It is the disembodied voice of John. That's what I feel about.
Yeah, if you have a God voice, you can just sort of throw at it. I like what Judy recently told a friend of mine who's been going through some difficulties, and we all have them. You know, why do bad things happen to good people, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This is a belief system of mine, and I have seen my past lives, as have many other people, and there's thousands of people that talk about this, many tens of thousands. Judy said, quite simply, you're always in your plan. You're always in your plan. Having a bad day? Well, it may not be this little thing, but the fact that you're having severe difficulties, or it could be a disease, or I just can't get that job that I really like. I like to use the word career instead of job, by the way. But it's just not going your way. That is your plan. Now, with manifesting, you have been endowed with the ability to make change. So in your plan, you have this suffering thing that's just driving you nuts. But you also have the ability to stop it, maybe. Maybe it's your plan that's always going to be there, or you can modify it. You'll become a teacher of the thing. You know, these things we get into that all these quirky things we do habitually, don't want to put a label on it, but we have the ability to make change. So if it's in your plan to have to suffer through whatever it is, you still have the ability to modify or change it.
So Nashville, John.
I'm trying.
Didn't that make everybody feel better?
Yes. Well, I mean, you come in with this plan because you choose it before you come in. Is that the idea?
Say again, I'm sorry.
You choose this plan before you come in.
Yes, we do.
You create it, okay.
And the people we meet. And that's why some people just get right back to you, or there's that chance encounter. And there's that big zing when you see them. And it's like you've known them all your life. Well, mm-hmm. That's one of those things. They'll come in and out of your life, or they'll stay in your life.
So what about people who don't believe they can manifest anything, and that they just, you know, are very skeptical?
I don't blame them for being skeptical. It sounds like nonsense. I mean, seriously, it's very hard. Excuse me. It's very hard to quantify this. It's very hard to go into the lab and test it. I like it when you put that jug up against your face and it turns into some kind of gel or something. What that is you've got going on.
I didn't see that.
No, it took me right outside my train of thought. Where was I on that?
You were... what were we talking about?
Well, okay, Ken, give us an example.
About skeptical people. Who...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I like being a skeptic. Being in this metaphysical field for so long, and I recall liking these metaphysical programs when I was 2 years old. I'm sorry, when I was 6 years old. I looked one up the other day on YouTube. They're still out there. And I was fascinated by that. There is a lot of woo-woo in the world. There is a lot of controversy. There is a lot of people that come up with these schemes and conspiracies. You know, that's all over the place all the time. And even more so with all the stuff that we can get our hands on. I've seen this proved out too many times, and I can get behind it because for years, before I wrote the book, I would send Judy things in thought. Because after I had that conversation with William, she said, yes, your thoughts create things. I got a call from someone, another friend of Judy's, and said, Judy's got a birthday. Well, I did this for Judy's birthday last the year before. She said she sent her a bouquet of flowers. Now, Judy was on the shore.
That's a great story.
And I said, what do you mean? She said, well, in thought, I sent her a big, you know, beautiful bouquet of flowers. She was in the Caribbean at the time visiting a friend. And she said what happened was she contacted Judy the next day and asked her about the thing that she had sent her. And Judy said she went to her whole hotel room. There was a round table when you walk in a little foyer. It must have been a very nice room. And there was a big bouquet of flowers, a very big bouquet of flowers in spirit.
Huh.
And it had all these sparklies and streamers, this energetic stuff coming off of it. And it had an energy signal, so she knew who it came from. It came from this woman. Huh. And I said, well, I like the idea of that, like a three-year-old. I said, well, I'm going to send you something in thought. She said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to think about it really hard and send it to you. She said, and it was her birthday the next day. This is a year later. I'm going to send you a gift. She said, well, because you're sending me a gift, it's going to come from your heart. And I'm going to get it every time. Well, that was completely lost on me. That was some kind of subtlety. That was the in-your-face subtlety that I still didn't get. So I decided I would send her a yellow rose in a simple silver vase. The whole thing's, you know, about this time. Mm-hmm. Nothing fancy. She said, you don't need to be an artist to visualize this. Just think about it and send it out. Just take a few seconds on it. And okay. So I decided that's what I'm going to do. And I sat down and I crammed that thing. You know, it's a yellow rose and a little vase and I jammed on that thing for about 2 minutes. And this is the tell on me. I was worn out after trying to concentrate on something for 2 minutes. I don't know that that's what you would call an accolade on my behalf. But so I called her up and I did the thing I did, I don't know, 40, 50 times. Did you get the thing I sent? And she said, yes. And I said, well, you have to tell me what it is. She said, well, it's my birthday. She was at a desk with her computer on it. And she said, I'm just looking away from the computer, and the room is full of gifts from my friends on the other side and from my friends in the physical realm. She said, your gift is right here up front. Well, I didn't want to, I don't know. I don't know what that's about. Didn't want to get into that. I just want to know if she got anything that's at. And she said, was it your intention to send me a yellow rose? Well, that destroyed me. Yeah, I've been around this a lot, and I've seen the things, you know, the people who do things like this on television, but when it happens to you, it'll choke you up.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, my gosh. I was speechless, actually. I didn't say a thing. I have to think about how that went down. It is all in the book. There were two of these great examples.
Yeah, those are great stories.
Yeah, and I said, all right. I said, well, she said a yellow rose. And yeah, I was just astounded. I'm trying to think if I had a response. I did say something, and she answered back. And she said, was it in a silver vase? I think I said something like that to get a response back. And she said affirmative in that. I can't remember exactly my quote, but she came back with this. Oh, I remember now. I said, did you get the thing I sent? She said, yes. And I said, you have to tell me what it is. She said, it's a rose that's been dipped in gold and is all aglow.
Wow.
That's what she said. Well, that's not what I sent. I just sent a rose. And I said, why? I don't understand. And she said, you know, that's not what I got. When I said, I sent you a yellow rose. She said, I know, that's not what I got. And I went, what? And I said, well, what happened? She said, there was somebody that wanted to get in on this. Huh. They knew what you were going to do. So they got your thought of the rose, dipped it in gold, or, you know, surrounded it in gold, and sent it on its way. And I'm a real novice of this stuff. I said, listen, we've talked about thought. I don't want to get into quantum. We don't fully understand it anyway. But thought is instantaneous. You know, a mother will give some heads up about her daughter on the other side of the world. It's instantaneous. And there's no barrier to it, that pure thought. And I said, well, we've talked about that. I mean, who could take a thought and grab it and embellish it? She said, some big guy. Now, I like this story for the people that are not only skeptical, but they're quite religious, and this is a hard road for them about this manifesting stuff because it's not in the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. And I like to say, well, I think I got the good housekeeping seal of approval my first time out of the box on this. And I asked her, Judy, who could do that? She said, a big guy. I said, what do you mean, big guy? She said, JC, big guy. She calls him JC. She sees him around the house from time to time. She cut him over. They're pals, not in a super religious sense. And I said, JC, like Jesus, big guy? She said, yeah, well, I can't put my arms around that. And a lot of people's reaction would be, thank you, Jesus. And mine is, I'm trying to get under the furniture because I realize that Santa Claus really does know what you're doing, right? Getting this really rough backlash on this group I stepped into here. And so that would happen every once in a while going forward. Hmm. I would send her something in thought. She got it every time. I did another one where I did it in real time. I'm going to put something in a chair. We can go into that if you like. And she watched my thoughts on the other side in the non-physical realm, an object appear in that chair in real time.
What, was she out of body then?
No, she was sitting in her chair in Georgia.
Oh, wow.
This is the San Francisco Bay Area, 2,200 miles away. Huh. And my thoughts are creating a result in real time. Hmm. I can tell you a story if you like, or we can go on.
I have a question there.
Yes.
A little bit different. What about kids? Do you think they can manifest things themselves maybe easier than adults? Or what do you think that's possible?
To manifest?
Children.
To manifest children?
No. Children manifesting whatever.
I think they're fantastic at manifesting. Don't they get most of the things on their Christmas list?
Yeah, they do. That's true.
Yeah, I have a story to put in related to that.
Yeah, I use that example. I think they're excellent manifestors. They don't have a lot in the way except fear.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, they can fear that.
Many years ago, when our daughter was now like fourth or fifth grade, we got invited
fifth grade.
Okay, we got invited to her class for this kind of Thanksgiving event. So
yes.
Each of the kids made something in class, and then they got up and talked about what they were thankful for, what they were grateful for. And so
yes.
Megan had made a sculpture of a red golden retriever. And
yes.
she stood up, held up her little golden retriever, and she said, I'm thankful for the golden retriever that I'm going to get.
Rob and I looked at each other and thought, huh?
We don't know anything about this. A week later, she had a red golden retriever. Somebody, it just turned up that a friend of hers, I don't know if she's...
Well, Jesse was a guard dog, a drug dog at a school.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Right, and flunked. The dog did not want to bus kids for... you know, going to lockers. So they said, we got to get rid of this dog. And friend of hers, the father, was the head of the program. And so we ended up with Jesse, was a great family dog, even though not very good at busting kids for drugs.
Well, it's sort of a side effect of this. And I can't claim to be an expert. I'm an observer of a lot of these sort of situations. And that thought will generally, well, I think this way it works. That thought will find the quickest, most efficient way to get to you. And that brings up another part of this, and I'll get into this number one of one, two, three. And that is not to bring in too many details. She said a bed, mm-hmm. golden retriever. Okay, not a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
Not with an orange collar. Yeah. Right. You know, and
not a boy or a girl. She didn't care.
Yeah, right. Doesn't have to come from a family member. It doesn't have to be a gift. She just said the basic stuff. And because the thought doesn't have to do all of this, there it was, in a very efficient way, a most efficient way. Sometimes when those happen like that, somebody will tell me the story, and I'll go, I wonder what took them so long. Of so course, things don't happen that quickly for everybody.
But so if you keep this desire simple, it has a greater chance of manifesting.
Well, put it another way. You know, it's really big over there, and it's really small over here. And if I decide that I want to become vice president of the company, there's a lot of moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
That vice president has to get out of that chair and leave that office so I can get in there. There's other people vying for that position. A lot of moving parts. A golden retriever, not so many golden many moving parts. Another side to that is if you have stress in your life, things that happen internally can be taken care of in a fairly efficient way. Sometimes dramatically quickly. I did a session with someone who was very just not a happy person, and she worked in a hair salon, which is a very strange thing to be doing if you're not happy and you're bringing in people you want to talk about their lives, whatever. And she did a session where they called me a little early the next morning. She said, "What did you do?" I said a prayer for you. And Judy had worked with her before. I contacted Judy and said, I'm working with this person that mentioned you. Judy did something the same or similar. And the person woke up and she said, I've never been so happy in my, I haven't been this happy since high school.
Oh.
What did you do? And it was an internal shift in her.
Huh.
Next to no moving parts. Another friend of mine who's a financial person, people are very finicky about their money, and he's handling their money, his own financing. There's a lot of stress with that, a lot of pressure with that. He woke up. It was like he read off the same script. He said, I don't know what happened, but I woke up, and I don't have that level of stress anymore.
Huh.
Just three levels up from that. Stress is not a concern for me. And he said the same when the other person said, I know it's permanent.
Hmm.
And I woke up at that one time too, and I knew it was permanent. Now, that's a strange thing. These were all internal changes.
Huh.
And they weren't even manifesting anything other than the first person wanted to be happy. The financial guy and me, we were manifesting future where things were good. But we didn't specify the things that we woke up with. Excuse me. And it was very specific.
Hmm.
So that was a bit of a wonder, but it made me think there's very few moving parts, just to put it simply. So when you're putting something together, if let's say you're a real estate agent and you want to do better as an agent, or you want to get that, let's just say you want to get that real estate agent job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, don't manifest in anything other than you're going to be a very successful real estate agent. Don't say, I have to lose 5 pounds. I have to get a new wardrobe. I need a new car. Don't put that stuff in there. You're a successful, you know, real estate agent. Here is the bonus to all of this. It's not just a bonus. It needs to be mentioned because it's so incredibly important. There is no time on the other side, number one. And number two, everything over there is a construct. It is a thought form. Any kind of structure you see, that was the result of a single or a group thought form.
Hmm.
If you saw a building over there, and you want to make it pink, it's not going to happen because you have all those other thought forms that are laid upon that thing. And if you want to demo on this side, get a bucket of pink paint and start walking towards the White House and see what happens. There's a lot of invested thought in that, not big pink. Yes.
So when you see something like what you're talking about on the other side, is that created by the people on the other side or is it created by physical people?
It could be created by physical people. There are thought firms over there where people live in communities. Mm-hmm. And those things are constructed here. And is this a comedy?
We're making you cough.
No, it's just a left elbow. That's, I feel perfectly fine, but I sound like I'm dying. I'm not. So they have belief systems here, very strong belief systems, and they're brought together by other people that believe the same. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, they may end up in a community with their family or others, and this community mirrors those thoughts. Huh. And their entire community is like that. Or the people have beliefs about certain things have to happen before the next thing happens. And they'll be lined up in front of a river waiting for a religious figure to come in and change everything. Well, they're still waiting. But it's like 15 minutes on their watch, but it could have been, you know, 1,000 years ago. William Buhlman is very good about that. He doesn't want you to get invested in beliefs too much. I mean, he's a very moral person. But if just be a skeptic.
Mm-hmm.
Be skeptical. And if you want to know something, I do this every once in a while. I certainly did it way back years ago. I had sticky notes all over the universe. I want the big picture. Now, what does that mean? I don't know, but I want a big picture would be very satisfying. So I started getting big pictures of things, how things work, at least in a way that I could understand it. You know, I wasn't getting calculus. And how planets sit in their orbit and the mathematics of the galaxy. But I got to see things a couple of times in ways that I could understand it. And that was very satisfying.
So, Ken, have you had, in the cases that have come to you and that you've found out about, have there been many related to health, like people with some kind of illness or disease or whatever, and
yes,
are they able to manifest better health? Is it work with health?
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes. I'm working on that thought as we speak. I had a terrible cough. I got something that put me down for a couple of days. A terrible cough, about two.
Yeah, I had an experience very similar to that with this cough after a cold, and we were at a concert. It was like it wasn't a loud concert. It was, it was very quiet, and I just kept coughing, and people were looking at me.
Yeah, yeah, and you were giving everybody COVID in the room.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's unnerving. Yes, now, you know, in my case, this I took over-the-counter medications. It's just running its course, so it hasn't stopped overnight. But every day I do manifest that my body's in perfect health. So it's unusual for me to get a cold. I take one medication for, I was on the edge with calcium. And so, you know, I take a pill for that and that's it. So very fortunate that way, but that's genetics as much as anything else, I'm sure. But for health, yes. And I like to recommend when you're manifesting something, miracles can happen. And the difference between a big miracle and a little one is nothing. It's just nothing.
They're all miracles.
Yeah. Yeah. Miracle's a miracle, but large or small. So I'll manifest sometimes that I want something reduced. I do things like that every day. If I have any kind of aches and pain, I'm on it. And I ask my body to fix it. Hmm. Or to reduce it, mm-hmm. If I have a physical defect and it's not operable, then I'll ask for that to be reduced so it's not in the way.
Uh-huh.
All right. I had a woman that I'm an artist. I did an art class. An elderly woman came over to me after the class, and now I'm more elderly than she was at the time. Now that I think of it. And she said, I've got glaucoma. And it's they say it's not going to get better, and I don't want to lose my sight. What do I do? And I'm not a doctor, and I haven't encountered someone that came to me and say, can I do something that was, you know, a diagnosable something that was fairly serious? And so I told her what I'll be putting out on the program, a lot of what I've already said. And she got back to me 6 months later. With glaucoma, she has a checkup every 6 months to check the progress. And her doctor, oh, well, let me back up. She made a movie. In that movie, I'm not coughing. so she made a movie. Your thoughts can create the future. There's no time over there. So your thoughts are operating in a zero time place. No, that's big.
That was the movie she made?
No, but, oh. But I'm just saying that your thoughts are operating in a zero time space. Right. So in our terms, your thoughts can make future events. Now, I want to specify that because when we're manifesting, we say, okay, I'd like for that big check to come in. Well, you're talking about the future. Well, I want to make it clear that your thoughts are operating in a place where there's nothing but no time, backward, forward, this time, future time. So she made a movie, and in that movie, without a lot of detail, she didn't have glaucoma. Or it wasn't, and I told her to just have that reduced, so it's not a concern. So that was her movie in her future, that she didn't have glaucoma or it's not a hindrance. So after her 6 months checkup, she called me and she said, I went to the doctor and, and he said, I've never done a program like this. It's always a first. That's not going to be very appealing to look at them. I just have to skip over the Kleenex. And the doctor said, I don't see any evidence of your having glaucoma. And I want you to get a second opinion. So she did. And the doctor effectively said, what glaucoma? So she gave me the story. Well, this is a whopper story for my newsletter that I put up on the website. I do 2 a month. And I went to the National Glaucoma website, the official website, and about halfway down in pretty big letters, it said, glaucoma is not curable.
Wow.
Okay?
Jeez.
It would be okay. And I was just stunned. And so that's happened going forward. A year later, I'm doing an art class in Kansas City. And after dinner with the, you know, the people that invited me to stay with them, that are hosting the event, I needed a canvas. So the husband was driving me to the art supply store. It's after dark. And my wife said, you wrote a book about manifesting or something. And I said, yeah. He said, well, can you give me an idea? And I said, well, let me give you a story. And I told him the glaucoma story. Out of, at the time, I had a couple hundred or so. Excuse me. He said, why did you pick that story? I said, I don't know. He said, well, I've got glaucoma.
Oh, wow.
I was just diagnosed with it. What do I do? I said, well, I'll just give you the same thing I told that woman. I'm not a doctor, but it worked for her, okay? And I didn't say it could be 1 in 5 million, but it seemed like it to be. And so he did that. I was in touch with his wife some many months later, and it was the same result. His glaucoma disappeared.
Now, see,
if it didn't disappear, it wasn't an issue because it was greatly reduced. And they say it's not curable. That's the official.
But you see, that's instilling a belief in people who have glaucoma. You're never going to be cured.
Yeah.
So I get annoyed. I see something like that on a medical website. forget it, you're going to die, or, you know, it's never going to be cured or whatever.
Yeah. Right, right. Those are, I would call those radical results. But that's just the difference between a big miracle and a little one, right?
Well, I have to see it.
But they really got on that because they were very motivated to try to find something to stop that. Now, with that thought they had, they're doing something that is very helpful. When I sent the rose to Judy Goodman, she said, "You're going to send it as a gift. It's going to come from your heart, and I'll get it every time." And I said, that was lost on me. Well, what I've learned to do is every time, and I have a list of things, you know, this long. So my phone, it's not many lines like that, but it's a series of things. And after every thought, in my future, I have perfect health. And I'm so very grateful. I put love behind it. That's what gratitude is. And a nice thing that Judy told me that just seared it into my head because the way she structured it, she says, every morning before your feet hit the ground, say 7 grateful things.
Huh.
Now, she can see the energies around people, and she can see that clear the space, that gratitude clears the space. It's better than having all these terrible, worrisome thoughts around. It clears the space so these things can come in. And your future, you can also manifest that I'm in my future. This is a movie thing, and I'm doing it right now as we speak. In my future, I'm in Paris, and I'm at a roadside cafe.
Huh.
And yes, there's a little too much diesel going by, but I'm in Paris living the dream. And having my breakfast and a coffee, and it's so nice. And I can and I don't have to see the buildings in detail, but I'm there, and I can touch the table, and I can drink the coffee. And it's all in the future, and I'm making a visual. Now, the other thing I do, and this is the number one of 1, 2, 3, you make a movie. Now, most of what I do, unless I'm trying to be extremely specific, like sitting in Paris at a restaurant, then in my future, I will be in my chair in my future, and maybe it's the end of the day, and I'll say, I'm in my future, and in my future, finances are not a concern.
Hmm.
And I'm so very grateful.
So, that's when you touch your couch, right? You had that thing in the book. I got to kick out of that.
So I'll just declare that to be so. I'm in the chair, and I'm in my future. It's very interesting to take a breath of air in your future. And I'll do that. And the birds outside, they're in my future. Any sounds I hear, it's all in my future, because I'm probably in my future, my chair resting, and I'm making these statements. But if I want to go to Paris, that's going to be a movie. If I want a certain thing to happen, it's going to be a movie. But I'm not going to be too specific about those things. And vacation thing, I'll be as specific as I like.
Uh-huh.
But I didn't get past just sitting there at the table. Yes.
So, Ken, you have a chapter about the rose. You mentioned the rose story, but the chapter is Rose and the Duck. What's the duck?
Okay. Well, that was after sending Judy lots and lots of objects at a distance, I would always call the next day. Did you get the thing I sent? So I'm a bright bulb. It took me about a year to come up with this. Well, how about if I just do something in real time? Now, listen, I'm. You don't have to be a bright bulb to do this. I'm a walking example of that. I just don't come across this stuff really quick. I was lazy. I didn't strategize and look at all the ramifications of this and become a biblical scholar or go into Islam and see what they've got about this subject. I was just going along and sending things to Judy, and it was a plaything. It was just a plaything. I'm playing post office with a tremendously gifted person. But I was too dumb to add 2 + 2 on this. Over and over and over, I'm getting this proof that my thoughts are creating something. What did I do with it?
Nothing. Nothing.
Really didn't. And all this time, Judy can see down the road that I'm going to write a book about this. So she allowed this nonsense stuff I was doing to happen over and over and over. Don't send Judy things and thoughts. She's got so many layers of protection. It's never going to get in. Don't send it to me. I'm not going to say I'm not gifted. I am, but not to the degree where if you send me things, I'm going to pick it up floating around the living room. So don't bother. Do it for yourself. You know, test yourself. That's where you want to go with this. So I decided, I called Judy up. She's in Georgia. I'm in San Francisco. I said, I'm going to send you something in real time. Boy, I felt so smart coming up with this a year later. And, you know, a really thinking person would have jumped on this the second time around. But I'm a year later. I'm going into this. And she said, what are you going to do? I said, well, I'm going to send you something in thought. And I think about it really, really hard. That's where I was. I'm still thinking about really, really, really hard things. I haven't developed a strategy to create a thought and put gratitude behind it because that would, it would just make it much, 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 much exponentially stronger. So I'm just going to think about it really hard. So I said, just stay on the line. Do you have a chair in the room? She said, yeah. All right, I'm going to send you something and put it in that chair. So now I'm thinking, what am I going to send? Well, I don't want something the kids outside might be thinking of or anybody else. There's something I just saw on a television commercial. And I'm an artist, so I can go into wacky land. So I thought to send her a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck. And he's got a stick like a ruler, a little thin stick, and then a board across this way. So it makes a T. And on that horizontal thing in red lipstick, it says love on it. So I'm sending her a Daffy Duck with a handheld sign that says love on it. And I go to work on that. I don't have a Daffy Duck in front of me, but you know, you don't have to be super accurate about this stuff. And I'm cramming it again, not putting anything behind it, not putting gratitude behind it, not making it a gift. I'm just going to make some magic happen, right? I don't know what to do. So I just did what I knew how to do. And that's just, right? And after 2 minutes, again, I'm worn out. I'm just not very good at this. I'm not very good at this because I couldn't put any real attention into it. My mind would wander off and I'd have to come back to it. Terrible. It's not a meditation, by the way. I never mentioned meditation in the book. I never mentioned faith. Who gets an A+ at meditation? Who gets a perfect score at faith, right? So I didn't put any of those things in there where you can judge yourself and fail. You just do it. And so after 2 minutes, I said, okay, I'm worn out. So did you get the thing I said? Is it in the chair? After my call, she said to me, yes. Was it your intention to send me a cartoon character? Well, I choked on that one, too. I said, yeah. She said, well, you had a wimpy thought, so you got a wimpy result. But it wasn't a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck. She said, there's this 2.5-foot-tall thing, humanoid shape in the chair. He's got little skinny legs, little skinny arms, and he's got cartoon colors on him. So I figured it's a cartoon character, and he's got a stick in his hand. So 2 minutes, she could see forming in the non-physical realm in her chair, my target spot, a Daffy Duck with a sign. And what did I do after that? I hung up the phone and went, huh. I didn't do a damn thing with it. That I was just shown the keys to the kingdom.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I went, huh. So that's who you're dealing with on this show. Plus, yeah, everybody knows. But it's, yeah.
That's kind of scary in a way that you can send a thought to her and she picks up. Can she do it on the other way around without you sending a thought to see what you're thinking about? Would that be an offensive thing to do, to go into somebody's mind who is not asking for help?
Well, if you have that level of giftedness, there's all sorts of do bees and don't bees.
Uh-huh.
And they're just moral, just everyday moral, logical things to do and not to do.
Right.
And that would be one of the things not to do without permission.
Yeah, but yet you can manifest bad things too, right? I mean, if you're mad at somebody and you say, I wish they would get in a car accident or something, I mean, that would be a bad manifestation, but it could work, right? I mean, there's no morals in the manifestation process.
Yes. I was a hospice volunteer for quite a while before the internet. And there was a nurse that came in. I was already there with the hospice patient. And she looked a little out of sorts. And I said, "You okay?" She had a horrible time getting here. I had one of those maps, and I got turned around. And I rolled through a stop sign, and a guy screamed at me, honked at me and screamed at me and shook his fist or something. And she screamed back at him because she was late for a hospice patient. And that's very critical to her. And that's not her style. And she was so embarrassed. And because she's lost, she turned the corner and saw that guy again. And he screamed at her again.
So she attracted it in a sense.
Yeah, she did. And I complimented her when I had met her before. She came in, and after I saw her work with the patient, I said, "You're just an angel on the ground." And I haven't said this to many people, but you're one of those people that goes through life and doesn't leave a mess behind them. She said, "Why did you say that?" I said, "You're just one of those people." She said, "I just made a mess, and it came back to me to clean it up, I guess." Yeah.
Huh.
The yelling at people, sending them bad thoughts, that thought will reach them. Now, it might be in a much diminished form. It could even be in a full strength form. I just had a conversation with Judy about this just like 3 days ago. And she came down on the side of what she observes as somewhat diminished form. A lot of the times, it just comes right back at you.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get in that realm of the non-loving realm, that would be everything else you can dump in there. That's the fearful realm. Mm-hmm. You don't let people in traffic or sending hateful things to people that have you perceive have offended you. Maybe they have, maybe they hadn't. That's just places you don't want to go.
I'm sorry, just real quick though, because I really feel like I have to get this in, because I was thinking about asking a question earlier about how you were talking about big miracles, smaller miracles, no time on the other side, and Trish and I had been talking about driving in traffic and stuff before the podcast. And so we went into the cars. So y'all started talking about, you know, cars came up and everything. But that was the question I was thinking about earlier, is that I'm sure more than the ones that are coming to mind at the moment, but I've been in multiple situations in a car where there is no reasonable explanation as to how that didn't become a wreck.
Yes.
And I mean, there's one in particular where I just do not understand. The guy was in front of me, and then he was behind me, you know, and believe me, I drove straight home, locked the door, and didn't leave all weekend. It was on a truck.
Yeah.
But I mean, so that was, in my estimation, a miracle. But was that like a peer-to-peer thing going on where, because all I did was drive straight. I didn't do any crazy driving or anything. I was just like, okay, just keep going straight. It'll be all right, you know? And so the guy like goes across all the way across the lane in front, all the way across three lanes in front of me, hits the barrier, and then somehow tries to stay in control, and then bounces off the barrier and comes back across three lanes behind.
God.
And that's the most extreme example, but there's been some others. But
Yeah, that can't happen, but it happened. Now, keep in mind, on the other side, there's no time. So I've had these before myself and have other stories about this. Now, in my case, I can have had three of these things happen in a car, and I can just pick up a phone and call Judy and say, thank you for helping me out. This is a new lesson.
Well, who could we call? We're going to call you, Ken.
I call the voice of God. They're running the show. That's what that's who I would call. So that was just a demo of what can happen on the other side. It could be an aunt or an uncle. Any adept, very adept personage, an angel or a person, can have influence in the physical realm.
Could it have been possibly? I mean, no way of knowing, but I don't know of any way of knowing. But could it have been just you were talking about sending the gift and someone else picked up on yourself and did something to change the gift. But could this have been somehow? Somehow me and the guy in the Jeep are communicating.
I don't know about that, but there's communication going on somewhere.
Sure.
And because there's no time, it's not for an adept, since there's no time, they have the time to say, I'm going to get a hold of Mike and Jim and Mary over here. I want you to come over. Something's about to happen over. Can you see that? Yeah, let's all jump in. I want you to stop the car over here, and you guys bring it around on the other side. And we're not going to let them know what happened. And we're just going to have some fun with this.
I'm perfectly good if there's a whole team working on the problem on the other side. That's fine with me, too. But
there could have been one, but there's enough time to bring in a whole team because there is no time.
Yeah, exactly. So we're coming to the end of our hour.
No.
But I gotta ask you one thing. We got to do number three, manifesting 1, 2, 3. What's three, and why doesn't it count?
Okay, well, let's do the number
why don't you
three
need
really
it?
Fast.
Okay.
On the number two is about fear.
Yeah.
Your fearful thoughts create reality. Remember, I was entangling, like a spider web, my thing about no financial concerns. So if you have this great fear and you're repeating it, why wouldn't you? I can't tell people don't worry about it. Stop thinking about it. You're going to have this fear. You need to take action on that fear, please. Lacking any other better idea. This was given to me one time when I was in great fear about finances. What I got was take action on your fear. Well, what does that mean? I didn't hear a voice. It was just there. And so it was another packet of information came down. So if you're concerned about finances, I'll use that as an idea, then you need a raise. We'll just call it a raise. So make a list, go to your boss and give him some reasons why you should have a raise, how you're a benefit to the company. Number two, call a mentor. Number three, call somebody that's in that field that knows the ins and outs of that field. The next thing, look around and see what other job openings are available in that field. Now, you can't get all those things done in one day, but at the end of the day, you put out some things, you're waiting for return calls, and when you stop worrying about that, just tell yourself, I've done everything I can do today. Tomorrow's another day. I'm manifesting result in my future. That is absolutely everything I can do. Now, get a good night's sleep and go at it again tomorrow. And give yourself a break. So, that's the number two. Take action on your fears. Now, the number three, and you don't need number three, is that we're all endowed with this ability. We can manifest anything, and we can manifest things in the future. That's quite a superpower. And you don't have to dress up like Superman or Supergirl. Get yourself in some sort of meditative zone. You can do this when you're driving the car. Please don't get distracted. But you don't have to do this special bit. You don't have to purify. You can just be who you are, and you're going to make these things happen. You don't need the number three at all. This gives me an excuse to tell you you're already bigger than you think. If you could see yourself on the other side, it would shock you. It would shock you. I just saw that once. And it was some guy in a robe that looked like me. And there was so much love coming off that guy, it would melt steel. That's who we all are. I'm just a pumpkin head. There's bigger guys out there than me. So we have everything we need. But don't forget, whatever you're in right now, that is your plan. And now you can modify and you can declare, all right, I'm going to, if I'm going to be my plan, let's move on to the better part of the plan, okay? Uh-huh. And start manifesting away. But you're going to be in your plan.
Okay, thank you very much,
Ken. Oh, wait, Ken, tell everybody where they can find you.
Oh.
Your website.
Okay, it's www.manifesting123.com. And sign up for the newsletter. You get 2 a month. And I'd love to have your stories. I'll send you out a book with every story. There it is.
Now it's a great book. It's the best book on manifesting I've read.
Thank you.
Really is.
It's fundamental. It's like a genie. The genie comes up, you get to make some wishes. It's very much like that. You're the genie, though.
Oh, this has been great. Can we have you back on?
I would love to.
Okay.
What are you doing for dinner? Let's go out.
Yeah. All right. Great having you here.
It really is.
My pleasure. My honor, truly. Thank you.
Let's stay in touch. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye. Bye.
Take care. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for joining the Mystical Underground. Visit www.themysticalunderground.com for the latest blog post and book info. Subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcast app. Listen to the podcast at podcast.themysticalunderground.com. Follow Trish and Rob on Instagram at Trish and Rob McGregor. Follow us on Twitter at The Mystic Cast. Send email to podcast@themysticalunderground.com. And until next week, thank you for listening and stay mystical.